Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Aaron Hernandez, but it looks like he's having a hard time getting anywhere. It sounds like we can check in now with Steve Cooper. He's the one in the white shirt there. So, Cooper, I know you're standing right there with Aaron Hernandez. What can you tell us?
Basically, I can tell you that he left the stadium just a couple of minutes ago, and he pulled into this Gulf gas station here. And as you now see, it's his Audi SUV, and he filled up. He put the nozzle into his gas tank, and he started to fill up. He went inside. And just as he was getting into his car, I tried to ask him a question. He shut the door, and now he's sitting. And so, okay, hey, Aaron, can you just ask him? Just tell us something. Are you already involved in?
Well, clearly our audio isn't too clear, but you can just see a horde of media there surrounding the Pats tight end as he gets into his SUV and drives away.
Oh, Steve Cooper, what a super talent that guy is. So what's going on? Oh, he's Aaron Hernandez is at a gas station. He put the nozzle in the car. Oh, my God. It's like I'm there. Wait, hang on a second here. I'm going to muffle everything and so you don't get anything out of me. I like that. Can you describe the scene? Well, he's at a Gulf gas station. And get this.
He's pumping the gas.
He put the no, he doesn't even say that. He put the nozzle
okay.
in his car. He seems to be putting I'm gonna go on a limb here and say it's gasoline, and that might make the car go vroom vroom.
I think that's what he was saying as the phone cut off.
When you put gas in the car, the car drinks the gas and goes vroom vroom vroom.
Make for happy car.
Makes car go fast. Zoom.
I will never forget that morning when we were all sitting in the studio and we have these TVs, you know, kind of across from us. And I remember looking up and seeing the SWAT team show up in front of Aaron Hernandez's house. And all of us are like, whoa, breaking news. And then they just slowly crept up and taking him to jail. I'll never forget that moment because nothing ever happens during our show. No yeah. news ever breaks during our show. And at 9 a.m., it was right around 9 a.m., they went and got him out of there. And ever since then, it has been just strange story after strange story of everything that's come out of this trial and everything that we're now learning afterwards. And there's a brand new book that's, I guess, coming out today. And it's written by the lawyer who defended Aaron Hernandez. It's called Unnecessary Roughness Inside the Trial and Final Days of Aaron Hernandez. Now, since it's just out today, not a lot of people read it. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe was given an advance copy. And the first thing that you realize and you understand as you're reading some of these excerpts is that this is obviously an extremely one-sided account.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things is that, first of all, as the lawyer writing the book, you're like, what are you doing? And second of all, yeah, like, what is he going to give you? And by the way, and I know you'll get to him, there's the suicide notes in there, and they make no sense.
Well, I mean, I'm not even going to read, because to me, that part was just like, all right, whatever about the notes.
The suicide notes are the hook, I would believe.
It was, although unless you are a fan of the Patriots, because he starts to, because a lot of the excerpts that have come out have made it look like a lot of this was the Patriots' fault. And once again, this is coming from the lawyer of Aaron Hernandez.
Which, if you read the quotes that he's more than once said, listen, I just know what he told me. I just know what Aaron told me.
Right.
I just know what Aaron told me.
Right.
So really, this is Aaron Hernandez's account of what went down.
Yeah, Aaron Hernandez's account of what went down through the prism of his lawyer and through memory.
So yes. Here's what the book is alleging. So this is, once again, Ben Volen went through it, and he had some excerpts. He said, Hernandez's troubles began in 2013 of February, a week after Alexander Bradley was shot in West Palm Beach. Hernandez was at a photo shoot in Phoenix, and Bradley repeatedly sent him threatening text messages. Hernandez then contacted Belichick and set up a meeting in Foxborough, but Hernandez didn't show. They then agreed to meet at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. We knew about that before. Said at this meeting, Hernandez told Belichick he feared for his safety and requested a trade, ideally to a team on the West Coast. So Baez's lawyer wrote, quote, Aaron told me the coach was incensed by the idea and reminded Aaron that the team had made a significant investment in him. Belichick told Hernandez to contact the Patriots director of security and to get a new residence. Baez remains upset at the Patriots for not taking Hernandez's trade request seriously. Once again, this is from the lawyer of Aaron Hernandez. Had they taken it, by the way, this is in the book too. Had they taken it seriously, how would things have worked out? He said.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't have murdered someone in Boston. I like how that his murdering of people is the Patriots' fault. You know, it's pretty simple. Don't murder anyone. You know, it's you can live your life without murdering people.
Someone, right.
I mean, if only they traded me to Oakland, I wouldn't have had to murder people outside of Boston nightclub. Right.
There'd be no bad element.
And how if I live in Bristol, am I ever going to get out to Los Angeles or to Oakland? I mean, how would they ever figure out how to get me there? You know what? They're afraid to fly. They need a nothing over 5 hours.
It's a regional gang. They don't get all the way out to the West Coast.
Right, exactly.
They said Hernandez then didn't speak with Belichick until May when Hernandez asked when he should arrive for off-season rehab work. After the Lloyd murder in June, Belichick and Hernandez had a five-minute conversation in which Hernandez said that he absolutely not was involved. After the Lloyd murder, Belichick met with the police in his office with his attorney present and refused to be recorded. The police obliged. Quote, that made it clear the cops were there as fans, not investigators, Baez wrote. I actually believe that. Baez subpoenaed Belichick to testify in the Boston double murder case while he was at the University of Miami Pro Day in 2017, but Baez decided not to call him to the stand. Quote, given the complexities of Belichick's schedule, I made the decision that we didn't call him. It would have been a pain in the ass to get him there, and I'm sure he would have fought it as much as he could to prolong it. Baez blasted Belichick and Patriots owner Robert Kraft for rushing to judgment and releasing Hernandez as soon as he was arrested. Well, they were right.
How can it be both? How can they have it both ways? We're going to blame the Patriots for my client murdering somebody, but then we're also going to blame them for rushing to judgment because maybe he didn't murder
anybody. How about you wanted him traded so badly, and then they release him, and then you don't like that either?
It says you're innocent until proven guilty in this country, but not in that organization, says Baez. I mean, they were right.
Yes.
What have we learned? They made the right decision.
If someone is up
you're also innocent until, you know, convicted guilty, which he ultimately was.
Well, and also, yeah, you know, if you're up on murder charges and you're connected to gang activity, I think that's reason to terminate.
It says, before the 2011 season, Hernandez sold his number 85 jersey to Chad Ochocinco for $50,000, then, quote, floated the money to a drug dealer and got past $120,000.
Oh, good investment.
I'd say it's a decent investment. But Baez wrote that Belichick liked Hernandez as a football player because Hernandez did things exactly the way he wanted, and Hernandez told Baez that he was close with quarterback Tom Brady. Quote, Brady always wanted to know where I was at all times, Hernandez said. He would always tell me, stop hanging with those guys. Get your blank together. One of the things I regret is not listening to him more. Baez then cast plenty of doubt on several prominent episodes in Hernandez's life. He provides evidence attempting to squash the spilled drink theory in the 2012 double murders and wonders whether the violence inflicted upon the two victims was actually drug-related. So he tries to disprove all the evidence that was presented. Baez has an alternative theory for the 2013 incident when Hernandez supposedly shot Bradley in the face, costing Bradley his eye. Baez also has an alternative theory for the 2007 shoot. Of course he does. He defended the guy. But, however, the most important thing, Baez also cast plenty of doubt on the rumors that we know Dr. Phil was trying to get to the bottom of.
Was he secretly gay?
Commercial.
Well, Cheyenne,
now the Flo-bee.
I mean, that was the. Was he secretly gay?
Was he secretly gay?
Find out after the break.
I wonder what he does live. Like, because I won't steal your impression, just say it. Was he secretly gay?
And then he just stands up and, like, leaves for, like, 20 minutes.
Just like, I'll let that one hang. I'm going to leave that out there.
And then the cameras go back on, and he looks back at her, and he goes,
was he secretly gay?
And there's actually a drummer in the studio who makes that dramatic sound.
He's got that cowboy, that Cosby, like, jello face on. With his eyebrows in the air.
Mm. He's like the cat who ate the canary.
Yes, indeed.
I ask all the questions everyone wants to know.
Mr. Burnsing his hands. And then it's like the lamest answer ever. And you're like, oh, well.
See, I just imagine him like mouth agape. Was he secretly gay?
Was he secretly gay?
And then they come back and she goes, nope.
Nope.
Nope. All right, well, cool. I guess we're good.
That was a big cliffhanger there.
All right. Well, there's more in here. And it is kind of interesting. But once again, I'm reading this, and like the things that he's crucifying the Patriots for all seem to be right. Like, the moves that they made, it's like, all right, well, as Fred said, just don't murder someone, A. Right. You can hold the Patriots responsible for that. And then, B, you're mad at them for cutting him from the team when you're pissed off that they didn't trade him at the first in the first place. Right. I don't understand. We'll get more into the important stuff.
Was he secretly gay?
This portion of the Toucher and Rich show is brought to you by Acura of Peabody.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, after his death, it was reported that he was gay. And you were his fiance. Was he secretly gay?
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and a new book about Aaron Hernandez is coming out today. It was written by his lawyer, and we've gone over a bunch of the stuff that the lawyer blames the Patriots for not trading him to the West Coast.
He said that Hernandez requested a trade. Back, it was that meeting that I think we all knew about that happened at the Combine. What was that, in 2013? And he said that, could you trade me to a team on the West Coast? And to that, Belichick was like, dude, we just invested a ton of money in you. You know, tell the director of security and maybe get a new place to live. And Baez was still mad that they never took him up on his offer to trade him. Which, by the way, a star player comes to you and there's no evidence of anything at that point. Star player says, hey, could you trade me? You know, if you're Bill Belichick, you go, you know, GTFO, what are you doing? Why the hell are you, give me something. Give me some real reason.
Well, he also went to the head of security for the Patriots and told him to hook Aaron up with a different residence. And, I mean, what do you want him to do?
They said move. They admit that Tom Brady and everyone else told him to get away from those people. Move to a different house. Stop hanging out with those people. No, we're not going to trade you. It's their fault that he murdered someone.
Yeah, and by the way, yeah, and you signed that deal. You signed a deal with the team. So, I mean, because that's the thing, is Belichick and the team had made a financial investment in him. And, I don't understand how a gang can't make it to the West Coast. That they, if you were in that much trouble, that you could just avoid it by move. I mean, you know, what do you get a false identity and move to Columbia or something?
And what the lawyer who wrote this book puts out there is fairly responsibly. But had they taken it seriously, how would things have worked out? So, I mean, there he is basically putting blame on the Patriots that if they would have done what Aaron Hernandez asked him, then he wouldn't have murdered anybody. And right. As you said, Fred, well, just don't murder somebody.
Yeah. I would say
if Aaron Hernandez did not pull the trigger on the gun multiple times aimed at people, he probably would not have murdered people.
Yeah. I mean, I know it can be difficult to do, but you could attempt not to murder anybody.
And then he blasted Belichick and Robert Kraft for what he said was rushing to judgment and releasing Hernandez as soon as he was arrested. And his quote was, you're innocent until proven guilty in this country, but not in that organization, which once again just contradicts everything he said before.
Right.
Did you want to stay or go? What was the deal?
Yeah, you know, often when you're accused of a major crime, a company will let you go. Mm-hmm. For instance, WFAN saw that there were federal charges against Carton. And they said, well, we're not going to wait around. We're going to let you go. There's usually stuff in contracts that says that's the case.
Sure.
And we're talking about the NFL, where they cut people all the time. He was in jail from that point on.
Yeah.
So I think he might have missed a practice or two.
Maybe.
At that point. He would not have been available on game days.
Well then this lawyer goes into some more details about...
Was he secretly gay?
It is shocking.
It is. So according to the book, Shayana Jenkins, the mother of Hernandez's daughter, wrote in the foreword, quote, Aaron was very much a man with me. I saw no indication he was gay or homosexual. But Baez writes that the police found a man known to both Hernandez and Jenkins and that he, quote, confirmed to the police that he had a romantic relationship with Aaron. One rumor that Baez squashes definitively is one that Hernandez left a jailhouse letter to a boyfriend. Baez published three letters, the ones you're talking about, Fred, which are addressed to his lawyer, his wife, or the mother of his daughter, Jenkins, and his daughter. The inmate who started that rumor was seeking a financial payout and made up the story, according to this lawyer. He also cast doubt on Hernandez committing suicide, saying it caught him and everyone completely off guard. Baez mentions the lack of a toxicology report. Quote, what if Aaron was poisoned in prison or given a sedative and then a hanging was staged? Seems like a lot of work. Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow, and the University of Florida also get wrapped.
This is complete BS.
Well, I mean, once again, this is from his lawyer.
Yeah, the Florida story is the... I mean, even though we have found out that Aaron Hernandez was indeed, according to witnesses, he was...
Was he secretly gay?
But this is the one. This is the one that is... did not happen. There's not a chance in hell that this happened.
You're talking about the him being... Okay.
No. All right, so but Hernandez says he was high all the time, and Urban Meyer...
Yeah, here it is.
Because
Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow... This is, once again, from the excerpt. It says, Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow, and the University of Florida also got wrapped up in the story. Baez writes that about Hernandez having little regard for the rules while in college. Quote, every time I was on the field, I was high on weed, Hernandez said. I would not play without weed. Baez writes that his behavior was so bad at Florida that Meyer wanted to kick him off the team before his junior season. That never happened.
So that never happened.
Yep.
And now it gets to be almost absurd what he says next.
But then Tebow stepped in and said, if you kick Hernandez off, you'll have to kick me
off,
too.
There is not a chance in how that happened. That is, in my opinion.
That sounds like a team guy. It sounds like a guy who looks out for his buddies.
Tim Tebow, Captain America, is forcing the coach's hand because he's going to kick a guy off for breaking team rules. Mm-hmm. And he says, if you kick him off, I'm going to quit.
Mm-hmm. There goes Tim Tebow.
I mean, you think that Tim Tebow was going to say, oh, hey, Urban Meyer, who lets everything go, Urban Meyer was all of a sudden going to say, hey, guess what, star player? You're not on the team anymore, considering we'll sign anybody. So first of all, I don't believe that Urban Meyer was...
So which is more unbelievable?
Well, hang on a second. First of all, I don't believe that Urban Meyer had any intention of kicking Aaron Hernandez off that team at all. Aaron Hernandez was accused of a lot of stuff in Florida, and I just don't believe that. Secondly... There's, in my opinion, there is absolutely no way that Tebow would have said, you know who I want to stick up for is the tight end that's breaking every rule.
That's playing high on the field. Shows up high.
And has been accused of assault and a bunch of other stuff. I'm going to put my loyalty to the Florida football program. I'm going to put my loyalty to the team aside, and I am going to transfer if you get rid of Aaron Hernandez. Why couldn't you send anyone else? Like Maurice Pouncey, like anybody else.
Right.
Tim Tebow. He seems like the kind of guy that he would turn his back on the rest of the team. Sorry, fellas. But I gotta hit the bricks because Aaron broke a million team rules. And, I got to stand by him. Ooh, that one almost hurts. that one is like, my Lord.
Oh, yeah. This is a little... I forgot. Who are you singing about?
Tim Tebow is that guy who sometimes likes to pray.
Oh, my God.
He's got exactly what it takes to play.
Chris, go ahead.
Well, what publisher paid this lawyer money for this book? Aaron Hernandez was born with a Born to Lose tattoo on his neck. Shot a guy 8 times.
What's funny, we were interviewing Rob Gronkowski years ago, and I asked about Aaron Hernandez's tattoos, and another radio station made sport of me for like an hour. And it turns out, hey, those tattoos were very important.
Right, they were used in court.
Yeah, early outlier guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I just, the Tim Tebow thing is, and by the way, I mean, they released the suicide notes, and I don't know because I'm not involved at all with the family, obviously, but to someone who didn't know Aaron Hernandez, they make no sense.
Well, I mean, at one point he quotes Savage Garden.
Well, yeah. And is that the hit song that he quotes, or is that a deep cut? Because I didn't know. I read it yesterday, and I didn't know. like off the top of my, because what song does Savage Garden sing?
I want to stay right here on a mountain.
Yeah, if it was a line from that song, it was not from the chorus, I believe.
That's once again, that was like when we had the Tim from the Dropkick Murphys on, and it was the day after there had been the Dateline NBC To Catch a Predator, and a guy got arrested for trying to hook up with a kid, and he was wearing a Dropkick Murphys shirt. He goes, that's not the kind of publicity you want as a band.
Oh, no.
So Savage Garden.
Savage Garden's just thinking, like, hey, the summer's not over yet. Let's go to the nearest chili cook-off. Or if there's some kind of livestock auction.
Is this the one? That's the one that he quoted? Because this is the hit.
No, this is the hit.
Yeah.
No, we don't know what this one. You'll have to read it and tell me what you know.
I Knew I Loved You is the one that he did.
The song I Know I Loved
Yeah,
You?
Yeah, that's what it says, right? Is the one, it says he ends up saying that his wife's going to be rich, and then he puts a reference to Savage Garden's 1999 romantic ballad, I Knew I Loved You. Which
is that a deep cut?
I've never heard of it. I don't think so. I mean, we could pull it up and see what kind of jam it is. All I know is that...
Tebow was going to leave the team.
I mean, honestly.
All right.
I want to continue to throw to this game. No, this is the one that... This is the one that Aaron Hernandez put in the... I've never heard this one, I don't think. Nick's nodding his head. That might be a Marshfield hit. I don't know if this is a worldwide hit.
This was
maybe down in the marsh.
This was in Menace to Society. This was the theme to Menace to Society. Very big with gangs. All right, I can't listen to this anymore.
What was Dr. Phil's question again?
Was he secretly gay?
All right, we have the headlines coming up, and then, Rich, you had an experience.
I have something that, since Wednesday, has been really weirding me out.
Okay.
And it came to a conclusion yesterday, and it's still weirding. It's actually it's weirding me out more than it did at the beginning. And I need your advice, and I need, I don't know, just to tell somebody, because I haven't told anybody.
All right. We will find out about that, but here are the headlines.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you have something that's been eating away at you.
Yeah. Starting this past Wednesday, there's been something kind of weird been going on, and I guess I've kind of been thinking only about this for, I guess, until yesterday when it finally reached its conclusion. The only people I told about it were my wife and a couple people who I had to speak with in order to get some information on how to deal with this. So on Wednesday, I went and cleaned my car for the first time in probably 2 months. Like, I never clean my car, and it's an absolute mess.
Like, clean the inside, you mean?
Everything. Like, okay. Because I had guests coming in from out of town, and I was going to have to drive them around. So I'm like, all right, so I'm going to give this a big thorough clean. I brought it, you know, down to the Alston car wash, and while I was waiting in that super long line to get in, I went through and started just collecting all the crap that's stuck in the little folds behind the seats where the kids jam their comic books and DVDs and stuff like that. And I grabbed everything out, and I just put it in just a giant wad, like a pile of trash in the back, knowing that as soon as I got home, I'd put it in a trash bag and I'd throw it away. So when I got home, I was going through the papers and, you know, throwing a bunch of stuff away and making sure I wasn't throwing out anything that I needed. And I pulled out this one thing that... it was like a sheet of paper that looked like it had like a watermark on it. And I thought originally it was like a certificate, like for a soccer, like my son's soccer team, like, hey, great job award or something like that. It kind of looked like one of those. Right. It was like the embossments on the side of it and everything.
When you say watermark, it means like it's an official document.
Yeah, it looks like an official document. But I thought it was just kind of one of those fake certificates that you print out and you give to the kids when they do a good job playing baseball. So I looked and it wasn't that. And at the top of it, it said stock certificate. And I was like, okay. And so I looked at it again and I'm like, all right, this is probably one of those Publishers Clearinghouse things that they send you that looks like a real, like, official document, but it's something kind of fake. And then the more I look at it, the more I realize this doesn't say anything about Publishers Clearinghouse. And I flip it over on the back and it's got the thing where you can sign it over to somebody. And I look and I see that this indeed looks like a stock certificate. Now, I've never seen one before in my life because when I buy stocks, you know, it'd be like you just do it online or you go to like an investor, and, you know, like a company,
right,
and
like
they do
when
it.
You buy stocks, like, or when you're when you the your people buy stocks, it's not like you get mailed like a bunch of stock certificates.
I've never before seen one in real life.
Neither have I.
So I Googled it and I saw it. I was like, okay, everything online says this is a real stock certificate. And I'm like, this is okay. This is odd. And I look at it and it's got all these numbers all over it. I don't know what each number means. And then I see someone's name on the top of it. And I'm like, okay. So I go home and I don't think about it too much. And then I say, you know what? Right down the street from me is a Fidelity, you know, one of those places. I said, I'm just going to go down there and just going to find out what the deal is with this and, you know, whether it's real or it's a joke. So I walk down the street and I go in and I say, hey, I found this as I was cleaning my car. Like it was between like two comic books. And I don't know how I got it, but I just want to know, is this a real stock certificate? And the woman grabbed it and looked at it and just stopped and slowly looked up at me and then looked back down and said, you found this in your car? I said, yeah, I just was cleaning stuff up. And she goes, this is a real stock certificate. And I'm like, wow, okay. Well, does it look like it's been like, you know, replaced? Or she goes, I don't know, but you might want to hold on to this. And I said, why? She goes, because it's pretty valuable. I said, what do you mean? She said, you see this number right here? And I said, yeah. She goes, that's the number of stocks that this represents. And I went, oh, I thought it was this, like a single number. It was 280,000 stocks.
Shares.
And I said, well, how much is that worth? And she looks it up and she goes, it's worth over $500,000.
But it's not in your name. It's in someone else's name.
It's not in my name. And I said, okay, is there a way to find out? I said, there's got to be some sort of way that if somebody lost this, they could like replace it to where it doesn't mean anything. She goes, here's the thing. There's certain stocks that it's only done with paper only. Like there's startups and there's certain like fringe ones where it's all on the paper and it's worth that. She goes, even if they were to replace this, there is a fee that you have to pay that is 5 to 10% in order to get it replaced. So no matter what, it would be worth at least at the lowest $25,000, this right here. But I think this is one of those papers that isn't replaceable. And I said, all right. And immediately at that point, I'm like, I don't know how I got this. And they're looking at me as if I like ripped them off. Like I ripped somebody off and I was trying to cash it. I was like, I just want you to know, I'm not trying to cash this. Is there a way you can find out who this guy is? Or they're like, no, I can't do all that. So immediately I put it in my pocket and I call Mary. And I'm like, I just found a stock in the back of my car worth $500,000 and I don't know what to do. And she goes, what about the guy's name? So I Googled the dude's name and I found there was somebody who lived in Providence under that name. So I went home and I did a lot of research and I found the email address of this guy. I actually found a company he used to work for and I said, hey, do you have the forwarding email address? And they said they did. So I emailed him and I said, I had to be really vague because if this wasn't the right guy, I didn't want to tell him, hey, I've got this thing to give you. So I emailed him and I said, hey, I think I might have something of yours that you might have lost. If you happen to know what it is, just email me back. And within a minute, I got an email back that said, is it my stock certificate? And he named the stock. And I went, yeah, got no idea how it ended up in my car, but I have it. And he's like, wow, that's unbelievable. I'm out of town, but I want to meet you on Monday. And I said, all right, sounds good. Where and when? He gave me a time and a place, and that was the end of it. So immediately afterwards, I talked to my wife, and I started freaking out because I'm like, all right, now this sets me up for what if I get there and this dude thinks that I ripped him off or I stole it? Because once you reach a value of a certain amount of money, it goes from being a small crime to being a major crime.
Yeah, to be like a felony.
Like a felony. So I'm sitting there and I'm kind of sweating and I'm freaking out. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. What do I need to do to cover my ass? So I called a lawyer friend of mine and I told him about the situation. And he said, well, first of all, I wish the thing was tomorrow so you could just go ahead and get rid of it. Because in the meantime, there's a lot of ways you could lose that. He goes, there could be a fire at your house. And then he could say, this guy robbed me and staged a fire, and he actually still has the stock. He said, somebody could take it from you, use it and try to negotiate with the guy to get the money back. He said, there's a lot of ways you could lose it. He goes, do you have a safe at home? And I went, no. Nope. And I said, he said, all right, well, you better keep it somewhere safe in the meantime. So
you put that up on the refrigerator.
Like a dummy. I just like stuck it inside of one of my kids' books. I just stuck it in there. And he said, you probably should bring somebody with you. And he goes, no, don't bring somebody with you. He goes, you should have a little like sheet of paper that you give him and have him sign when you turn it over to him that says, here's how it happened. I don't believe you stole it. This is just simple, blah, 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 blah. And so he told me all these things. And then yesterday came around and I did none of those things. Like an idiot. I did none of it. I just wanted to find out how this stock ended up in my car, who this guy was, and what the deal was with the value of this stock. So I showed up to the hotel yesterday. We were going to meet at 5:30. I got there at like 5. And I sat down and I found a place that was like kind of where everyone could see it. And 5:30, this older gentleman in his 70s shows up. And I Googled image the guy so I knew it was him. And he shows up and shakes my hand. He goes, hey, this is awesome. I'm a big fan. So he knew who I was by the email address. He goes, how's the radio business? And I said, oh, it's doing good. And he's like, hey, great, great, great. And I said, here's your stock. And I handed it over to him. It was an envelope. And he goes, wow, this is great. He goes, you know, I said, how the hell did it get in my car? He said, well, you know, I don't know. All I know is that several months ago, a buddy of mine who I invest with, you know, he just had a dumb idea for this company and he told me to invest in it. And I didn't even think much of it. So, you know, I bought it. Obviously, this guy's got a lot of money because he's talking about, I just threw some money at it, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, it was worth nothing at the time. And he goes, and for some reason, the last 5 months, this stock has been bought out by two different companies and now it's worth like a lot of money. I'm like, yeah. And so he goes, so I went to go pick it up it was sent to me at a mailing facility in South Boston. I went and picked it up and I was in a cab. And when I opened it up, it flew out the cab window. And so I stopped the cab and went running after it. And so did the cab driver. And then we couldn't find it. The cab driver swore, he said, it went into the sewer grate and he couldn't find it anymore. And I said, I don't know when I've been to South Boston. I don't know how this would have gotten in my car. I have no idea. And he said, oh, well, that's strange. Okay, great. Hey, thanks a bunch. Have a great day. I'll see you later. And took off with it. And that was the end of it. And I don't know what. It's still freaking me out because I don't know if there's any kind of weird repercussions I could get for having that certificate to prove that I didn't steal it or that I didn't take it. But all I know is that when you're sitting there holding something in your hands that could be worth. Oh, though he did tell me one thing. He said he did not get it replaced. So that certificate was indeed worth the $500,000. He had not gone and paid anybody to get some sort of buffer. And I don't know if I have any kind of liability for anything or he could come back and get me for anything. I don't know.
When you bought your car, it was a used car.
It's not because, I thought back. The certificate was addressed or it was made on January 30th of this year. So it had to have gotten in my car sometime between January 30th and now. And I have no idea how it would have gotten in there.
And
none.
It was in like a packet in one of the back seats?
Dude, it was jammed between a Curious George DVD and a Donald Duck comic
book. Obviously one of your kids is a high-powered criminal.
I have no idea how it ended up there. And the only thing I could think of
is you were being set up, is that someone jimmied the door open and then put the stock in there and then wanted to get rich shirt and leave off the streets?
No, I was thinking if I was to valet my car somewhere and someone had left it in my car.
Why? But a valet wouldn't do that.
Dude, I don't know who did it.
Yeah, I know, why would a valet take something that's worth a lot of money? I mean, you could essentially extort the guy. You could call and you could say, I have this stock certificate, like if you want it back, I want 10% of the value.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's why while I was there, I didn't want him to think that I was like a criminal or a maniac or anything. And I still don't know if I am like liable for anything.
Is it a cool looking piece of paper?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Because here's what I'm saying with my kids, I could if this thing is literally blowing down the streets of Boston, your kids are walking around, they're like, hey, look, cool piece of paper. Pick it up. Oh, look, I have a whatever, and that's how it ends up in your backseat of your car.
Yeah, but that would mean that Richard stopped the car somewhere.
No. You've never gone for a walk in the streets of Boston.
But then how would it get in the car?
because the kid's carrying it around and then gets into the backseat of the car, and there it is.
My kids pick
up rocks and shells and sticks. They're kind of dumb, but they all end up in my car.
So do mine. Sticks and rocks all over the place.
Sticks?
Yeah, mine do too.
This is a cool stick, Dad. I want to take this stick home.
I finally feel good about my children.
It happens all the time. But I don't know why I'm still like really unsettled by all of that. Because I don't know how it got in my car. The whole time I was nervous because I'm holding something. Hell, when I proposed to my wife, and my ring that I got her was nothing. I think I got her like a $2,500 ring when I proposed to her.
Have you since replaced it?
Her ring? No, I've not. She doesn't want it replaced. She thinks it's sentimental. But the thing is that I was nervous holding that in my pocket. So holding on to this certificate that could have been worth $500,000 was freaking me out the entire time. And now that I've given it back to this guy, I don't know if there's any kind of way he can come back and sue me or try to put criminal charges on me for stealing it.
Why did you not take the lawyer's advice? That seems very unlike you.
Here's why. It's because I have a back and forth email exchange with the guy that says basically confirming my story.
All right. Todd, you were an investor.
Hey, actually, I worked in the investment business for about 30 years, and I think you probably got a little bit of incorrect information from whoever you spoke to. There's no value to you in finding that stock certificate. The owner would have to sign the certificate over to you, which is somewhat of a complicated process. But I think you probably got a little bad information. It's not like, you know, if you watch the movies and, you know, guys are trying to steal like bearer bonds. Bearer bonds don't have a name attached, and the owner of the bearer bond is the person that possesses the bearer bond. A stock certificate's a little bit different. It's got the name of the individual who owns the certificate, and they'd have to sign that over to you.
I understood, Tom, but the thing I was worried about was that he would think that I was taking it and trying to extort him to get the money, to get the stock back.
Absolute fair point there, guys. That is something that he certainly could have, you know, thought about. I think the fact that you were looking to return this in good faith probably shows that, you know, he was legit and he'd actually lost it. But also at the same time, he can, you know, and you're probably right, he's probably a pretty wealthy guy and just kind of lost track of it. It didn't have value and he forgot about it. But he at any time can go back to what's called the transfer agent for the company and say, hey, I lost my certificate. They've got a full record of that and can cancel the one you found and send them out a new one at any time.
Yeah, okay, but there's like a 5-10% fee on that, which, once again, still makes it like $25,000 to $50,000, I think.
Brian, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey, first, Rich, before I get to your stock comment, did you see the picture I sent you regarding Hulk Fieri that I saw down at Disney?
No, I'm not. I'll take a look.
Through my buddy's Facebook page. I posted it on your Facebook page.
Good.
Okay, good.
He was saying there was a dirty old man orgy in the back of my car.
Yes.
Chris. Did the guy slide?
All right, hang on. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, look, Rich, first of all, you need to calm down. You're being a little girl. You gave the guy the stock back. Nothing's going to happen to you.
I hope so.
If there's nothing you could have done with it, and it ultimately he could have gotten it replaced, and who knows if the person from Fidelity knew what they were talking about, it seems like you're scot-free.
Well, I know. The guy ended up saying he didn't get it replaced. So he said that he was going to go through it, but then he just kind of forgot.
According to the guy that used to be, is that it would be worthless to anyone else and that he could just get it back.
Yeah, unless you try to get money from him to get it back.
Right.
Yeah, and that was the thing I was worried about.
It seems like it's weird.
It's just been a weird week.
The weird thing about how it got in my car is how it got in your car.
Because I was expecting answers. Like, what day did you lose it? But just the fact that it flew out of the cab seems weird.
Yes, indeed does. That he was just like holding it in a cab. Right, just like in his lap.
Right, it doesn't sound true.
Okay, well, Lord knows.
Did the guy give you like a 10 spot?
Did he give you any money?
Did he give you a little something?
No, he offered to buy my drink. However, I'd already given them my card for the 10th.
Wow, that's great. So he offered you a drink for $500,000. All right, when we come back, Nick was out at the big old Red Sox game. We'll have that for you.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.